This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
The second hour of SEC's final day is upon us. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. We've heard from Coach Harsin, and we will talk to Sam Pittman coming up here in a minute. Andre is up next. So what do you got, Andre?
Coach Feinbaum, thanks for taking my call, Coach. My prayers go out to Coach Bowden and Coach Rick. And, man, that's just a tough thing, Coach. We don't
we now have more information on Coach Bowden. It was just announced by Terry Bowden that Coach has pancreatic cancer. Not that I'm an oncologist, but that is an extremely difficult form of cancer to deal with.
Steve Jobs had it, Coach, and Michael Landon had it. And they said that it hides behind the stomach so they don't catch it until it's too late. It is a sad thing. Hey, Coach, congratulations on your massive contract. You know, if you're looking for a butler or a chauffeur, I'm available, you know.
Thank you.
My day job for it, Coach. Hey, Coach, what do you think the percentage chances of this thing going through with Texas and OU? You're on the inside looking out. The rest of us are on the outside looking in. So what do you think, Coach?
Andre, I think right now it's very good, but I say that cautiously because you know, all we've had are a bunch of non-denial denials, which don't mean anything. The commissioner of the SEC will join us later, and I do not expect much from him, and that is not meant to be difficult. I'm just he's in a bind. Everything he says has to be parsed right now because this thing is not done. But I think it's more likely than not that it happens.
All right, Coach, I got another question for you. Well, who moves from the west side to the east side?
Well, I think let's do the math there. I think this is the moment that Missouri moves out of the east and stays in its natural geographic position. And you add two more, so let's help me with the math. You got eight teams. That's a chunk of them right there, isn't it? I think Auburn has been yearning to go to the east for a long time. So Auburn swaps out for Missouri, and then you know what else happens? Alabama probably then becomes the most western team. Do they stay in the east or the west? Or by one more thing, do we even have divisions? Yeah, LSU and Alabama. So, do we have divisions after this?
Coach, only you know. You're on the inside looking out, Coach. But congratulations on your massive contract, Coach. Have a good day.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's check in with William, who is in Louisiana. Hello, William. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I'm here to talk about the Texas-Oklahoma situation with them joining the SEC. I think this is the start of super conferences to where if this does come through, I think the Big Ten might be trying to pull Notre Dame away. I think Oklahoma State might pack up and just go off to the Pac-12. I think it's the end of the Big 12 era.
Yeah, you have a couple of possibilities here. I mean, there's a lot of jigsaw puzzles. The Big 12 to survive needs to steal someone from someplace. And, you know, do they go back to Colorado, Utah, Arizona State, or does it go the other way? And I think the Big 12 really has nothing to stand on at the moment. I don't know how. I mean, they don't have a base. They have Oklahoma State, which is really not a marquee school for to launch a new rebranded conference. And, you know, they could go to Houston. They could go to SMU. There's one other school out here who I think is very valuable that could help either the Big 12 or the Pac-12, and that is BYU. I think I said Notre Dame's the biggest name out there. BYU is pretty close to being the second biggest.
I think that if this all comes through, I think you'll see a chain reaction. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that the ACC was trying to pull Penn State away from the Big Ten, and they were trying to push Notre Dame to come join them.
Well, think about this for a second. You know, Penn State is not leaving the Big Ten. I mean, no one's leaving the Big Ten. Let me quickly give a lesson on conference economics. Big Ten and the SEC are the richest conferences. They have the best deal, they have the best conference networks. They have the best television agreements. The ACC does not. The ACC is in a really bad spot here because without Notre Dame, they have a lot of agreements that are not particularly valuable when you do the recalibration of what if Oklahoma and Texas come to the SEC, what it means financially. The numbers are gargantuan. So I don't see the ACC ripping the Big Ten off for anyone. I think the ACC needs to hold on for dear life. And where does the ACC go? Do you try to get West Virginia in the ACC? Does that really help your bottom line, getting West Virginia with virtually no television markets? Do you go to Cincinnati? Do you go to South Florida? UCF? I would say right now, if you're at UCF, Cincinnati, South Florida, Memphis, Houston, you are buzzing your phone right now, talking to people, trying to position yourself for what is next. Let's continue with more calls. And Sean is up next in Florida. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Real quick, I just had some thoughts about the Texas OU thing, like everybody else that's calling in today. Essentially, there is, correct me if I'm wrong, a gentleman's agreement with Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, South Carolina, and you have to think A&M is part of that, where they would not vote to allow an in-state rival into the conference. And I can assure you A&M is going to be probably calling in some favors from those other schools to vote alongside them in opposing this, judging by some of the comments from the A&M athletic director on your show yesterday. Doesn't sound like he's too keen on it, so just wondering your thoughts on that. There's always been sort of an understanding between those schools that they would stick together, and I'm wondering, Alabama and Auburn, are they going to want to allow two other powerhouses into the conference as well? And I'm just trying to find the votes, and I'm just having a hard time seeing 11 out of 14 schools voting for it.
I think if you do old math, you will not find the votes, but I think this is a different world. And I know those agreements are out there. I've been to SEC spring meetings when these things were discussed, and it came up when Florida State was a factor many, many years ago, and Clemson was a factor. And especially when Texas A&M came into the league, there are some comments today from the former Texas A&M president, Bowen Lofton, who said that he was assured by the conference commissioner, Mike Slide, that Texas was not in play. But I can't speak for anyone, but I can give you an observation that a lot of this has already been discussed. And I personally believe what we heard from A&M yesterday was posturing. The common belief, now I'm just giving you composites. I'm here. I'm trying to help everyone who isn't here understand what I'm hearing. May not be completely accurate, but it's the prevailing wind in this building is this, that the story by Brent yesterday, Brent Zernerman of the Houston Chronicle, emanated from Texas A&M. you heard Ross Bjork sitting here yesterday saying, I wanted to come to SEC Media Days to support the players and coaches because COVID has been difficult. And we haven't been around anybody in a long time. I don't go around this place every year and see if and take note, because I mean somebody asked me earlier, did you see so and so? And I didn't. I mean I see who comes up to our set. I may see like Coach Drinkwitz has had to leave earlier. I saw him, but some days you don't see everybody. And the reason I'm going through this long explanation is that Ross Dellinger told me this. He's the great reporter for Sports Illustrated. He said his best understanding is that there has not been an athletic director at this event in 11 years. I've seen them here. I saw an athletic director here about that time, because the reason I know it for a fact, I had dinner with him. But this was like 2010. It wasn't anytime soon. So if Ross's memory is correct, why was Ross Bjork here yesterday? Was he here because he knew the story was coming out? Or did he just happen to come and support his guys? Anyway, we need to go to a break. We are coming back with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And one of our favorite coaches will be joining us shortly. He is Sam Pittman of the University of Arkansas.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome you back, and I've got to guard against talking about our next coach being a first-year coach, because he's not. But this is your first appearance at Media Days. We're talking about Sam Pittman. We've had so many great conversations with you, and it's such a pleasure to see you in person. I'm afraid to ask how the day's gone, because you're about like 7 hours into interviews.
That's right. You know, you start a year later, you've done everything. Well, I'm been a year and a half, but we hadn't done SEC Media Day, so this is new for me. I'm excited. Next year I'll know how to go about it a little bit better, but I started at 7 and now we're here this afternoon, and it's been basically all interviews or flying to get here, so been very exciting, though. It's been great.
And that's the one thing I've tried to observe you from a distance, from the first time we had you on to now. And I mean, through the lens, you just come off as a guy that is loving this job and has just got your arms around it.
I do. I mean, it's been the greatest 18 months of my life. It really has. Being the head coach of Arkansas, I never dreamt that would happen. And now that it has happened, I want to make sure that, we do the right things and we win enough games where it can happen as long as Jamie and I want it to. But I at times, Paul, in all honesty, I wake up and go, dang, I'm the head coach at Arkansas, and it's a thrill. I mean, it really is. And we made a little headway last year. I think we'll have a little bit better football team this year.
I mean, you had a lot of times people forget how you got here, but I mean, you had a reputation as one of the preeminent, if not the best, line coach. I mean, your recruiting prowess was well known. You worked for Kirby Smart and helped really build that program. But did you wonder if you would ever get that shot at a really big job?
I think I had started forgetting about it. In other words, obviously, a long time ago, the only guys that made money in the business was the head coaches, assistant coaches. I remember when I was coaching Oklahoma, I made $60,000 as an offensive line coach. Now, it's in 1997, but, the head coach made $500,000, $700,000. So I think that part of that was the goal of financially securing for your family. Well, then I got to Georgia or got to wherever, Tennessee or Arkansas, where it may be, and started getting paid. Georgia, my hands were full with coaching the offensive line. I mean, they were full. There were five guys in there recruiting that position all the same. So I had I felt like I'd have a quality career if I didn't get a head coaching job. And then it just happened.
And I don't know. I think that's part of why so many people all fan bases like coach. I mean, doesn't matter who the coach is.
Yeah,
he's our guy. We're but your fans, and we hear from so many of them. I mean, it just seems like they really have they love you. They bought in, and I know that's a burden for you in a way. Because you want to reciprocate.
Yeah. Well, the day that I get tired of signing autographs or speaking to people, then I've gotten too full of myself, and that's not going to happen. But you're right. For whatever reason, Paul, the state of Arkansas has really embraced me as I have them, But I've always loved Arkansas, Since I was 17, I went to camp over there, tried to get Lou Holtz to give me a scholarship. He wouldn't. He was smart. He was a smart man. He was smart on that as well.
He really was.
Or he is. But I've loved the Arkansas Razorbacks ever since. I was six years old, and I think it shows that I think Arkansas, and I know you have to do your job, and you have to say what you need to say and all those things, but I truly, in my heart, believe that Arkansas should be a premier football program in the country, and I believe that. You may as well. You may not. I don't know what it is, but I believe that, and I think that resonates with the fans of Arkansas, and because they certainly believe it.
Well, I mean, this interview is about you, but I'll answer your question. Yes, I know it's possible. I grew up in a city on the Arkansas border, and I'm old enough to remember the greatest and most important game in Arkansas history as a kid. And I watched it. I watched every set, and I was an Arkansas fan. And I mean, here's Arkansas in a 1-2 game.
Yeah.
Then I had the opportunity to come back years later and spoke in Little Rock when they were honoring the team. And it's, I mean, there's nothing quite like the Razorbacks. There's nothing else, folks. I mean, you don't have to deal with the Atlanta Braves, the Atlanta Hawks,
no.
And 8,000 other soccer teams. I mean, it's the Arkansas Razorbacks.
It's the Hawks. That's it. That's what people ask me about NIL. How's that going? Well, who else is there to give it to? It's going good. We got kids. We got a couple that have cars and things of that nature. We're doing great. We're the people they're going to give it to.
Well, I'll ask you about that now, since you brought it up. And a lot of coaches are concerned. We've talked to them today and yesterday about whatever they're making, and it's great that they're having opportunities. But as a line coach, as a former player, and now as a head coach at Arkansas, how do you deal with that in the locker room?
Well, we had a meeting, and I wanted to get the cart before the horse. I wanted to get out there in front of this thing, and I told him, I said, the only negative that can come from this is if A, you don't do your research and you go with somebody that is going to embarrass you. B, if it divides the football team. And I said, hell, you know, we'd just gotten Wright's barbecue for our team. I said, if it's up to me, I asked him, I said, if up to me, what will we do? And that coach, they said, Coach, you give everybody on team barbecue. I said, you're right. I said, we got a guy with PetSmart. If it's up to me, everybody to have dog food or freaking parrots. You know what I mean? But it's not. So if you want to, part of your deal, NIL, that's you. You know, so I wanted everybody to know I have nothing to do with that. I wanted to be out of it because, you know, division of the team is, well, coach gave this guy this, get that. No, I didn't. That guy went out and earned it and went out and did it. So am I nervous about it? Yes. I'm nervous about the money. Yes. There's going to have to be more education on. I mean, you can't. Coach Saban may have said something about some around $1 million. Someone's, and the coach knows that. I mean, coach is greatest coach of all time, but you he's going to educate those guys, and we're going to have to educate them.
Talking to Coach here, and you know, Coach, yesterday the bomb went off about Texas, and everyone thought of you because you got Texas in the second week, and the jokes about is that a conference game? You've heard them
yeah.
all. But I can't help but think about my old friend Jack Crow, who really lost his job as the Arkansas head coach because they were a lame duck in the Southwest Conference.
Yep.
Might have things changed.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet. But how do you deal with that question in a state that cares a lot about Texas?
A lot about it. You know, I said in my remarks today, the old theory was, or old wise tale was, that when Arkansas would go to Austin, that if you had an Arkansas tag, that you couldn't buy gas, you know, and in the state of Texas that particular day, you know. So obviously it's a huge, huge rival. I don't know about what our fans think about it. I don't know if they want them. They hate them so much they don't want to play them. I don't understand all that. But I do know that we play them September 11th. It'll be a good gauge of where our program is at that point. Obviously we have Rice the first game. And as far as the coming into our conference, I really haven't thought about it enough to really publicly say something about it, Paul. But they're obviously two good football teams. They get us to 16. I mean, they keep telling us to play Georgia every year. I mean, we played them. You talk about ruining some Kentucky Fried Chicken. I was on my boat, and Hunter called me and said, hey, you're going to play Georgia in Florida. I go, oh, my Lord, from last year. And then we got Georgia again this year. But it'll be good to see Kirby.
Yeah. No. let's talk about some things that you like. And you mentioned your boat, and you seem like a guy that just embraces your time away from football with your family. And I know there's not much time for that, but how do you shut it off? Because it's hard to do.
I like to go. We have a lake home in Hot Springs. I love to go down there. We went down there a week, and we went to Nassau for a week and went out in the Exumas and all that stuff. I love water. I love to fish. And so that's a lot of what Jamie and I do. You know, we've never had any children, so it's just us. You know, August 2 is 35 years of marriage, you know, and so we pretty much enjoy each other's company and water and things. And then at home, be a lot of just going out around the pool and listening to music. I'm a big music lover.
You've opened the door for the curious music lover to find out what you like to listen to.
Well, you know, this summer's been a bunch of yacht rock, a bunch of Doobie Brothers, you know.
Now you're talking about my era.
I'll say this. Justin Bieber's got a song out now called Peaches or something. It's a good song now. And then Maroon 5's got one beautiful something. But anyway, I've got a nice little song track, but I love the Doobie Brothers, have for a long time, and 38 Special and Journey and those people, they're all on my yacht rock.
Well, I'm not gonna just yank my music list out and try to compare notes, but that's a pretty good era, Doobie's 38 Special.
Oh, it's a great era of live music, you know, going to concerts and those things, and some of them are kind of coming back a little bit, but I love concerts. We went and saw Brad Paisley up in Joplin, Missouri this summer, and He was really good too, as well.
And I've gotten to know a few of them, but you got a few Razorback fans in the music industry as well.
Oh yeah,
I know you've heard from them all.
Yeah, Justin Moore is certainly one of those, you know. And man, is he good! And of course, John Daly's not in the music business, but he's in some kind of business. I love John Daly. But, boy, he loves the Hogs now. I think his son's coming to Arkansas as well, too.
He is. I talked to John a couple of months ago, and I've gotten to know him a little bit. And really, I feel like he reminds me a little bit of you.
Yeah.
Because once you meet him, he's your friend.
Yeah.
He's called this show either complaining or opining about the.
It might depend on what time of day he calls to.
I think we have a limit on that. You can't call after a certain hour.
He loves the Hogs now. I mean, he loves them. But Justin Moore is, he's really good. And he's a good friend of mine as well. Was the last time I was here too.
Yeah, you know when things aren't going good when suddenly you can't get John Daly or Justin Moore to return your calls.
No doubt. That means they're getting ready to quack. I'm getting ready to get rid of.
That's when you need to start preparing the. I've really enjoyed my time in Arkansas, and I wish them well.
That's true. That is true. I'm gonna watch out for that, Paul.
Coach, it's a pleasure. I know you've talked about the team all day, and I figured we would just kind of kick back and on the lake listening to Yacht Rock Radio. But thanks so much, and thanks for coming
pleasure.
On so often.
Thank you. Appreciate you very much.
What a great time with Coach Pippen.
Go Hogs.
We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and we are having a good time here on SEC Media Days, day final, the last day, the final chapter. The last media member standing continues a little bit later on, and let's get back to the calls here and talk to Johnny. Good afternoon, Johnny.
Hey, Paul. Great to be on the show today.
Thank you.
And it's amazing that I get to make this call right after the Sam Pittman interview. I am a longtime, 60-plus year, diehard Georgia Bulldog. But let me tell you, Paul, Sam Pittman is one of the most unbelievable, not just coaches, one of the most unbelievable human beings that's ever set foot on the University of Georgia soil in Athens, Georgia. Now, I can say many things about Sam. I do remember, and I'm sure you remember this, when they had the media days at Phillips Arena the Saturday before Georgia and Bama was playing in the national championship. You know, they did Georgia, then they did Bama. And I'm in the stands, and I'm watching all these reporters interview everybody, players, coaches. I'm watching Sam. Nobody's interviewing Sam Pittman, you know. So as he's leaving, he don't know me. As he was leaving, I hollered his name, and he looked up in the stands at me, and I gave him a double thumbs up, and I said, Sam Pittman, you're the greatest. One other thing I'd like to say about his character, when he left Georgia and went to Arkansas, we had two offensive linemen get drafted in the first round, and I saw video of Sam Pittman and his wife. He's at Arkansas now. Called our two offensive linemen that got drafted in the first round with tears in their eyes, congratulating them and thanking them for what they did. And those players felt the same way about Sam Pittman. Now, when we lost Sam, I'm like, oh, my gosh, the wheels are going to come off. Thank God Kirby went and got Matt Luke. That was a home run for Kirby. But I want to end this with this, Paul, unless you got any comments. Sam Pittman, you are going to be welcome with open arms in Athens, Georgia this season when the Razorbacks come to Athens. And if there's any way I could do it, I wish I could find you and take you to the finest restaurant or your favorite restaurant in Athens and buy you any damn thing you want. Go, Sam. Hey, and I'll say this, as Sam would say, Paul, yes, sir.
Hey, I'm sure I'll be in Athens a couple times this year. Sam will probably be busy the night before the game, but I won't be. So if you want to take me out, I'm a willing participant. Thank you for the call. Let's check in with Randy, who is in Georgia, and you are next up. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you very much for calling.
I'm a huge Georgia fan, but I wanted to talk about Auburn a little bit today. I was breaking down the schedule, and I read the Auburn schedule. I found one intriguing game, that Penn State game week three. I wanted to get your thoughts on that one.
Yeah, I think that's a real challenge for Auburn. I've been to College Station a number of times. That is going to be a night game. It is a difficult place, and I don't like Auburn's chances. Auburn starts with Akron, Alabama State, and then at Penn State, Georgia State. It gets rough at LSU, at Georgia. I mean, realistically, Auburn is going to be a underdog in three of the first six games. I've heard from people that think Auburn's chances of maybe exceeding expectations are pretty good, but so much depends on how that season begins. Thanks for the call. Mark is up next. Good afternoon, Mark.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of approach the realignment thing kind of from a different point of view than most people have. So the way I'm looking at it is Texas and Oklahoma, which are the absolute two just linchpins in the Big 12, which is really the Big 10. I think a lot of people are forgetting that as well. There's 10 teams in that conference. Those are the two best in everything, almost every sport other than probably basketball, which they're still really good in that. So with that being said, I'm looking at it more like the people that are going to be making any kind of vote to let Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC or to be leaving the Big 12, that conference is done. They're going to have eight teams at that point, none of which are attractive really in anything other than basketball. You got Kansas and then the national champs last year, Baylor, but those really aren't attractive anywhere. So you have to be aware as a administrator in the SEC that you will be, if those two teams come to the SEC, we will be absolutely changing the entire framework of college football in the country. So it's unlike any realignment that we've had. Texas A&M and Missouri coming to the conference didn't change really anything as far as in the footprint of the country. This changes everything because now you got to find a place to house those other eight teams because they're not going to have any kind of conference with those eight teams that are left, because like I said, there's no value into them staying together, and there's really no value into where they can go because they're closest to the SEC geographically, but we're not taking any of those eight teams into the SEC if those two teams come. So you really are talking about blowing up. The super conferences have to come if this happens because it's done.
Yeah, I agree with everything you've said. And I think super conferences have been on the way for a while, but this was that moment. And if you looked around, the Big 12 was always the most vulnerable because the Pac-12 has some staples. Yeah, right. The Pac-12 still has Washington and Southern Cal, Stanford. I mean, these are powerful entities. Without Texas and Oklahoma, I mean, someone please tell me who the Big 12 has. And somebody texted me today and said, are you forgetting Baylor and Kansas in basketball? No, I'm not. But you know what? I don't mean this to be disparage basketball. Basketball does not matter in this conversation.
Exactly. All that matters in this conversation is football, and you've just now thrown two of the sexiest free agents into the best conference by far already. So now,
think about it this way, Mark. I mean, if this is the night of the NFL draft, and you know we line up, 25 or 32 people, and you get to pick one college. I mean, and we're not talking about your favorite. We're lining up objective people in the media, or from anywhere. Yeah, I mean, the conversation about who's number one, it's going to be simple. It's going to be Alabama, Notre Dame. And you know, after that, we're talking Oklahoma, Texas, Penn State, Michigan, Southern Cal. I mean, these are Texas. I mean, these are not complicated things. You can look at any branding list and any list, and Texas and Oklahoma are on every single one.
Right. And I think the biggest eye-opener to me, when I think of the worst fit of any team in the country in their conference, you throw out West Virginia in the Big 12, and that's totally – I mean, yes, that's a horrible fit. But Nebraska in the Big 10, and where did Nebraska come from? The Big 12. They are just not a good fit for those other eight teams. And so literally this blows up the framework of college football, and I just think that not enough of that is – we're all focused on those two big, you know, just mammoths coming into our conference, but not what it's going to do. I mean, I'm telling you, those are going to have to get shipped out west, in my opinion.
No, you're right. You're 100. Hey, listen, Mark, thanks for the call. We're up against, I made a statement a couple of years ago in an interview. I don't remember where it was, but I said I think Oklahoma is close to getting in the SEC, and I had reason to say that. I just didn't say it to, you know, get Twitter hits. And it got shot down. Oklahoma people just crushed it. There's been conversations between Oklahoma and the SEC for a long time. Went back 10, 11 years, happened again a couple of years ago. Texas is the surprise, though. Nobody could look past the air around Texas. And also the fact that when A&M got in, that pretty much killed Texas. I mean, there were inside promises and that's why we're seeing the reaction from Aggieland. They don't want Texas around. They made that pretty clear yesterday, but privately, they're making it even clearer. We'll be right back. Much more to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Radio Row, that's what a couple of people still hanging around. Not many, by the way. There's a contingent. I will tell you, I've been on Radio Row on Thursday afternoon, and you know, you're not. I mean, we're fortunate here. We pre-book all the guests. That's a tough one. By the way, let me give you an update. Hold on a second. We have just gone from 21 media members to 8 in the span of an hour. That is a precipitous drop. And what if you're new to the show, and I would assume maybe we've got a few new viewers and listeners in Texas today. This is a contest we have every year at Media Days because all the coaches now are gone. We've interviewed a couple of them today, and this is a light Media Day anyway. It begins with 3, it ends with 3, and then 4 and 4 in the middle. That could change in the future, but we started this by happenstance. We a contest, last media member standing. It consumes the final hour. The media all over the country loves it, tweets about it. And we had 21 members a minute ago, and now we're down to eight. And we have a, here comes the breaking news from the Feinbaum control room. We now have seven members. I don't know about you. You know, back in my salad days, I'd be hanging around here just to get on national TV. That's just me. But then again, back then, I had nowhere to go. Apparently, some of these guys do. We have 2 hours before we say goodbye.